Romans chapter number 10. And I want to begin this message by asking a very personal question. Are you ready for this? Okay, ready? Here we go. Here's the question. How many of you in this building have beautiful feet? I'm kidding. All right. I was trying to be serious, but I couldn't help but smile. Yeah. Beautiful feet. I don't know. Maybe you do. You got beautiful feet? All right. Good. All right. Well, you know what? Hey, I want to encourage you, if you think you have beautiful feet, please do not take your shoes off and show us, okay? Let's not go that far. We trust you. We believe you. No need to take your shoes off. And that we could empty the building if too many of us do that. Amen. But, you know, I don't mean that literally. I'm not talking about your literal feet, your physical feet. You know, sometimes we speak figuratively, and so does the Bible. And it's obvious when the Bible does that, and it's obvious when we do it. If we say, hey, let's give them a hand, what do we mean? Clap. We don't mean cut your hand off and hand it to them, do we? No. You know, if we say, man, the other day I really put my foot in my mouth. We don't mean literally we put our foot in our mouth, you know. Some of us, we couldn't get it there, right, you know. And so we don't mean that literally. Well, the Bible sometimes will use that kind of thing too, but it's obvious when it does it. Like, for example, look at Romans 10 and look at verse 15. Romans 10, 15. It says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. That's good news. The word gospel means good news. How many of y'all like it when somebody brings you good news? Huh? You like that? How many of y'all like it when somebody says, I got good news and bad news? I don't like that, do you? If they ever say that, I always want the good news first. How about you? Give me the good news. Give me that I can handle the bad news. But give me the good news. Man, I like it when somebody brings me good news. Man, I always enjoy that, you know? Every once in a while, Pastor Rob will come back from Dunkin' Donut, and he'll have a cup of coffee, and he'll say, I got good news. And man, I just love him when he does that. But yeah, you know what? When the Bible says beautiful feet, well, think about that. Your feet are what take you places, correct? Well, God says that if you got beautiful feet, that means you're carrying the good news of peace to other people who need it. That's what it said. Look at it again, verse 15. It said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. So what is the gospel of peace? Well, take your Bible, and we're going to be right in the book of Romans. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 5. Let me show you what the gospel of peace is. What's the good news of peace that God says you have beautiful feet if you carry it? Well, look at Romans 5. Romans 5, verse number 1. Romans 5, 1. What's the gospel of peace? Look at Romans 5, 1. It says, therefore, being justified. Now, what's that mean? What does it mean if I'm justified? It means I've been made right with God. Right. It says that I'm justified, I'm made right with God by joining the church. Is that what it says? No. It says that I'm justified by being baptized, right? No. How am I justified? By what? By faith. Now look at it. It says, we have peace with God. Now how do I get it? What's the rest of the verse say? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the moment that I put my faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says I have peace with God. You see, the gospel of peace is the good news that sinners can be brought into a position of peace with a holy and a righteous God. How? Through simple faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. That's how you have that peace with God. It's through simple faith. It's not through joining the church. It's not by you joining a denomination. It's not by being baptized. It's not by keeping a list of rules. The Bible says that I have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through my personal faith resting in what He's done for me. Now, the question is this, though. How many of us are sinners? Well, look at Romans 3. Go back to chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and look at verse 23. And what's that verse say? It says, for how many have sinned?
All.
Say it real loud. How many?
All.
Oh, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of us in this room have let God down and disappointed God? I got to raise both hands on that, okay? All right, we've all let down God. We've all disappointed the Lord. We've all failed. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's law, whether it's in thought, deed, word. We have all broken and we violated God's law. Well, what's the result? Look at Romans 5. Go over to chapter 5 again and look at verse 12. Here's the result of my sin and your sin. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And what was the result? Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. Now, the Bible says the wages... Go over to Romans 6:23. What does that verse say? It says, for the what? The wages of sin is what? Death. Now look up here, church. When the Bible talks about how we're sinners and the result is death, it's not just talking about when your body dies physically and they cremate you or they put you in the ground. It's not talking about just that. Certainly, that is a consequence of sin. Is that that means we're all... How many of us are going to die? We all are. But that's not the only consequence. Did you know the Bible teaches that there is a second death? Yeah. Revelation 20 talks about how that when a person... If a person's not saved, they don't know the Lord. When their soul and spirit leaves their body... Your soul and spirit are what animates your body. Your soul and spirit, only God can see that. We call it our heart sometimes, but you know, God sees your soul and spirit. When your soul and spirit leave your body, if a person's not saved, then the Bible says that this is the second death. Why? Because if you're not saved, your soul and spirit leave your body. And your soul and spirit are separated from God's presence in a place of eternal damnation and destruction from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. So there's sin creates a first death, but our sin, the payment for our sin, is also a second death. The wages of sin is... Now, go to Romans 5 and let me show. That's pretty grim. But let me show you the good news, all right? Did I say Romans 5? All right, Romans 6, 23 again. Look at Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. And I love the next word. What is it? But. Aren't you thankful for that? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And how do I get it? Through Jesus Christ. That's the second time we read that. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have peace with God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are y'all seeing this? Well, how can that be? How can I be justified? How can I be at peace with God? How can I have eternal life if I'm a sinner and I deserve death? Go to Romans 5. Let me show you. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 8. This is pretty clear, isn't it? Look at Romans 5:8. But God commendeth. Big word, demonstrated. God showed. He demonstrated his love toward us. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Wait a minute. Who deserves death? We do. But somebody paid our sin debt for us. Who was that? Christ did. He paid your sin debt for you on the cross. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood. Now look at this. We shall be saved from wrath. How? Through him. Salvation from the penalty of our sin. How do I get it? Well, go to Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 5. One of the greatest lies that Satan has going today is that if you want to go to heaven and if you want to have eternal life, you got to work for it. You got to earn it. You got to be a good boy. You got to be a good girl. You've got to go to church. You've got to go through the religious rituals of the church. You have to go keep the rules and the requirements of the church. And one of the greatest lies that Satan has going is that the way you get saved is by doing. Do this and do that. What does Romans 4:5 say? Look how the Bible clears it up. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh, what's that next word? Not. But to him that worketh not, but just simply believes on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, not works, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Look at verse 22. It says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So do you realize the implication here is that you and I, as sinners, we can be saved from our sin, we can be saved from the wrath of God, I can be saved from the second death, I can have eternal life, I can be justified, I can be declared righteous before a holy God, and it's all through faith alone in what Jesus did for me. Would you agree that's good news? That's real good news, isn't it? Well, now do you see why the Bible says the people who take that message to other people have beautiful feet? Because you see, go back to Romans 10. Let me show you. Now, we're going to spend the rest of the time in Romans 10. So just, we're going to hang out in Romans 10. And I want you to look at verse 14. This is this isn't profound what I'm about to share with you, but this is about as true and practical as it gets. All right, look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him? Talking about Christ. How are they going to call on Christ in whom they have not believed? But then it says, how shall they believe in him? How are they going to believe in Jesus Christ of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Are y'all starting to see? Look, there's no doubt, folks, the best news ever is that you and I can be saved from the wrath of God. We can be saved from our sin. We can have eternal life. We can have righteousness before God. We can live forever with Jesus Christ in heaven. And it's all through faith alone in Jesus Christ. That is an incredible message. He died for us. He took the wrath of God. He took the penalty that I deserve. And he bore it all on the cross. And that is incredible news. That is wonderful news. But that news does you absolutely no good if you don't hear it. Correct? I mean, that news is awesome. But it does no good to people who never hear it. Elmo Compton said up on the screen, you got millions and millions of people in this metropolitan area of Lima, Peru. And he said, no church has started there in 10 years. Now, do y'all believe that message can save people in Peru if they'll believe it? Sure. But not if they don't hear it. The Bible says, how are they going to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how does God work today? He works through people. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, when I say that word preacher, what goes through your mind? Just let's do a word game here. When I say preacher, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? Nobody will say it. Nobody will say what you're thinking. I said, preacher, you went, Pastor Dan. I wonder how many of you did that. Well, let me ask you a question, okay? When the Bible talks about how shall they hear without a preacher, is that talking about people that are on a full-time pastoral staff? Is that just talking about missionaries like Elmo? No, when the Bible says how shall they hear without a preacher, do you know what the word preacher means? It means one who proclaims. How many Christians who know the Lord, how many of those should be proclaiming the message of Christ to other people? then how many, if we got 1,000 people here today between the two services, how many preachers should we have? 1,000 preachers. How many preachers you got up there at Crossroads? Shock somebody. Say, we got about 1,000. 1,000 preachers? Yep. Because we all take seriously our responsibility to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Oh, how I pray that we'll have a church full of beautiful feet. Just a church full of people with beautiful feet. You see, how shall they hear without a preacher? We could put in the blank there. How shall the people at your workplace hear without someone to proclaim it? How shall the people on your ball team hear without someone to proclaim it? How shall the people at the gym you go to every day hear without a preacher? How shall the people at your high school hear without a preacher? How shall the people at the place where you always shop hear without a preacher? How shall your neighbors hear without a preacher? You see, every believer who knows the Lord should take very seriously that thought of having beautiful feet. Taking the gospel of peace to those around us. You'll rub shoulders with people I'll never meet. Do you realize that there are people that will be born and they'll live 60, 70, 80 years, die, and I'll never meet them one time, and you rub shoulders with them every day. They'll live and die. I'll never meet them. That's why the Bible, when the Bible talks about how shall they hear without a preacher, it's not talking about me. It's not talking about Pastor Rob, Pastor Rich. It's talking about you. It's talking about you who know the Lord. It's great news. We got good news. We got awesome news. You know? But that news, that good news doesn't do any good if people don't hear it. Now, I'm only going to get through probably one point here this morning, but I want you to go to your handout, and I want you to look at something there, all right? We're going to bring the handout back next Sunday, and we're going to finish this. But I'm just kind of laying a foundation this morning, and with the interview with Elmo, we're not going to have a ton of time here, but I do want to talk to you a little bit about that very first point. I want you to look at it. Why should we strive as Christians to have beautiful feet, to take the gospel to others? Number one, because it should be a natural desire. It should be a natural desire. Now, I want everybody to take your Bible and go to Romans 10, verse 1. Go to the very first verse of that chapter. Romans 10, 1 says this. Paul is writing, and he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire..." Everybody say that with me. My what? My heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel. Now, who was Israel? That was Paul's people. He was an Israelite. So basically what Paul's saying is, you know what my heart's desire? Do you know what my prayer to God for my people is? And again, you know, all of us are people. That's a different circle. My people aren't your people, and your people aren't my people, and your people aren't his people. We all have different people. But Paul said, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for my people Israel, what was it? Look at the end of the verse. Is that they might be what? Saved. What I just got done telling you, that good news, he wanted them to be able to hear it and accept it. You see, when you have experienced something wonderful, it's only natural to want to tell other people about it. Right? When you've experienced something wonderful, it's only natural to want to tell others. Ladies, when you find some good bargain out at the mall, you just can't wait to tell another lady, can you? Be honest, you can't wait to tell someone else about the bargain you got. You think you took that car salesman to the cleaners? You can't wait to tell somebody, can you? You won't believe what I bought this car for. Boy, I tell you, I just kept working away. I kept getting him down. And you're proud of it, you know? And, you know, you can't wait to tell somebody. And when you've experienced something as wonderful as salvation from all your sins, being in a right relationship with God, knowing that heaven is your home, well, man, it's only natural to want to tell somebody about that. In your handout, I want you to give you a statement in your handout. It says, Paul was ready to preach the gospel and was not ashamed of it. He was not ashamed of it. I'm going to look at one more, just one more verse. Go back to Romans 1, chapter 1. All right, go back to the very first chapter. And let me show you what Paul's attitude was. Romans 1:15. So, look at it with me. So as verse 15, so as much as in me is. You know how we would say that today? With every ounce of fiber in my being. So as much as in me is. We'd say, man, with my whole heart. What'd he say? Look at it. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not, what? Ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of that good news, because it is good news. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, I think about that story. Remember the story about the woman at the well, John 4? And Jesus came to the woman at the well and he said, you're drawing up water, but I can give you some water that you'll never thirst again. She's like, what? And he begins to tell her. And she got so excited after talking to Jesus that the Bible says she left her water pot there and she ran into town and started telling everybody about Jesus Christ, how he was the Messiah. And the Bible says, listen to this, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Christ. They believed on him for the saying of the woman. Many of them believed on him for the saying of the woman. She got so excited, she left her water pot there. She came to get water, left her water pot there, went running into town, started telling everybody about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says many believed on him for the saying of the woman. Oh, how I wish they could say of us, many have believed on Christ because of what we've said and how we've witnessed. I told you guys that I didn't grow up in a Christian home. It was a good home, very good home, very loving home, but it wasn't a Christian home. And as a teenager, I could not have told you one verse of the Bible. Didn't know any of the Bible. Knew very little about God and Jesus Christ. And I remember as a teenager that my brother Steve, who was very much a wild man, I mean, he was crazy, he got saved. And he was older than me. Well, I watched him and I started coming under conviction. And I told you, I think a few weeks ago during the song service, we were singing that song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And Constance does that song sometimes. And it's an old song. And I remember hearing my brother listen to that song in the basement of our house. Jesus is the answer for the world today. And I remember hearing that. And I was listening. He didn't know I was listening, but I was listening. Of course, you know, back then, you remember the old LP albums, you know, and that's what he had. I was used to listening to all his LP albums of the Beatles and Alice Cooper and stuff like that, you know. And he's down there listening to Jesus is the answer. And I remember being under such conviction as I heard that. And finally, my parents were out of town and it was a Wednesday night. He said, you want to go to church with me? I'm thinking, now what kind of kooks go to church on Wednesday night? You go to church on Sunday. What's up with that? You know? And I said, all right, I'll go. So I went to church with my brother that night, and I was under such conviction of my sin. And I knew that I needed something. I knew I needed what he had. And when we drove home from church, he was witnessing to me. And he was sharing some of those verses that I shared with you this morning. And he was sharing the good news with me. And I listened on the way home, about a 10-minute drive home, and I listened all the way home. And when we got home, he parked the car, he finished up, and I looked at him and I said, Steve? He said, yeah, Dan. I said, I need to be saved. He said, did you know you can do that right here? I said, really? He said, yeah. And I bowed my head in his car, and I trusted Jesus to be my Savior. And after I trusted Christ, do you know what immediately the thought in my mind was? Boy, my parents need to know this. And I wanted to tell my parents and did tell them. And then I began to think about the kids at the high school where I went to, and I thought, man, they need this too. And I remember I invited my best friend over to my house. I didn't know one verse of the Bible, folks. I mean, I was green. I didn't know anything. And I remember trying to explain to him about being saved, and he's like, man, I don't get it. And so finally I said, well, just sit down and listen to this. And I played that song, Jesus is the Answer. How's that for witnessing? Amen. I said, just sit down and listen to this. But man, I wanted my friend to get saved. And he probably thought I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know, because he probably he's gone off the deep end. Because, I mean, that wasn't like me at all, you know. But I had a desire to see people saved. And, you know, it should be a natural desire. Now, look, I'll be the first to tell you, I haven't always succeeded. There's been many, many times when I should have spoke for Christ and I said nothing. There were times when I should have been bold and I was weak. There were times when I knew I should have witnessed for Christ and I kept my mouth shut. And I'm not up here saying that we're always perfect and that we always do it. All I'm saying is, if you're saved, there should be a desire to want other people to come to Jesus. There should be a desire. Maybe you don't know how. Maybe you're intimidated. Maybe you feel like, you know, man, I wouldn't know what to say. And maybe that's all true. But yet you have that desire. That desire's there. You say, well, man, Pastor Dan, I've been saved, but I've never even given 2 seconds thought about anybody around me. Man, I got coworkers I know that aren't saved, and I've got family members, and I got people I know. But man, I've never even given 2 seconds of thought to it. I don't. Well, I think there comes a point where you got to say, okay, am I really saved? Do I really know the Lord? Has He really created a change in my life? Do I maybe have a head knowledge, but I've never really truly with my heart believed on Christ as a sinner, knowing how much I need Him? Because once you're saved, there's that desire. Now, you can quench that. You can squelch it. But there, at some point, there ought to be that desire to want to see other people saved. You know these missionaries we've been bringing before you? We have one from Zambia, and we got one going to Romania. We got another one here going to Peru. And you know, like I said, they're not aliens that have flown in from another planet. They're real people like you and I. And it's not something spooky like, oh, God zapped Elmo in the middle of the night and said, go to Peru. That didn't happen. You say, well, what in the world is he doing in Peru? He went on 5 missions trips. Didn't you hear him say that? He got a burden for Peru because he went there and saw the need. And he said, man, someone's got to have beautiful feet. Someone's got to take those people the good news. So, Lord, here am I with the choir song. Here am I. Send me. I'll go. And that's all. The missionaries are just people like you and I. But they just have a desire to have beautiful feet. They want people to hear the good news of Christ. Do you have beautiful feet? Again, don't take your shoes off and show us, all right? We're talking about a heart issue here. Do you have beautiful feet? Do you desire for others to be saved? Well, next week we'll continue this. So bring your handout back and we'll give you part 2 and we'll finish this up next week.